So, we did discuss last week chapter 16, and we began chapter 17, which is a discussion, the ways and means of rising to the platform of Bhava Bhakti, or ecstatic love for Krishna. So there was a definition of Bhava Bhakti, that when devotional service is situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is like a ray of the sunlight of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various tastes, and it is called bhava. So, hunger itself is the first symptom of pure love for the personality of Godhead, and this state is sometimes found in shedding tears for suffering. Service, there are two divisions, namely executive and effective. This effective portion of devotional service is called bhava or ecstasy. So, here describing two things, executive and effective. Now, sadhana is understood to be executive because it involves the execution of devotional practice, and bhava is effective because it is the effect of the practice. Now, Prabhupada explains that both sadhana and bhava are within the stage of the regular principle of the devotional service. The point to be understood is that the phrase regular principle of the devotional service is a translation of Chaitra Rupa, not by the
shadow. If
effect of sadhana is bhava.
So therefore it's described as
effect. And sadhana is executed because execute our devotional service in order to derive the effect of practice. And you see on page 131, this is the quote that needs clarification. The two kinds of devotional service, namely devotional service through regular principles and through spontaneous love, were discussed previously. Within the stage of regular principles of devotional service, there are two divisions, namely executive and effective. Stating that within the state of regular principles is executive and effective. Now, it could be mistaken that bhava, therefore, is a platform within the regular principles. Right? That's a misunderstanding. But what we need to understand is, in this sense, when Prabhupada is using the term regular principles, he is not referring to Vaidhi, Sadhana, Bhakti. What it actually refers to, this term, is Chesterupa. It's Chesterupa and Balarupa. Chesterupa activities are activities that we execute that cause bhakti. We execute with our endeavours, different endeavours we do. Whereas Bhagavata refers to devotional service is executed with spiritual emotions.
Nirvana. This term here in the stage of regular principles, there are two divisions. Refers to Chaste Rupa. There are two divisions of Chaste Rupa. Those two divisions are here. Those that we execute in devotional service that result in bhava, cause bhava, and effective, or their endeavors that result from that. From those spiritual emotions. So, for instance, here, executive, there may be hearing, chanting, remembering, right? And we execute those activities, and they can result in bhava, spiritual emotions, particular taste. Endeavors that result from that bhava, they are sometimes known as anubhavas, which are taken up later. And we'll give an example given by Jiva Goswami. When a friend's love is stimulated, the anubhava may be that he endeavors to play with Krishna. So, here we have a devotee who is hearing about Krishna amongst his friends and associates. That produces a mood of affection, and as a result of that he will begin to go and play with Krishna. Hear or remember something, and then that produces a very powerful emotional, spiritual emotion, affection. And that overwhelming emotional affection has, anubhavas or, manifestations result from that. example that Mother Yasoda may remember about Krishna, and milk may begin to flow from the breast. There's a difference in this. There's one that stimulates a particular vata, the spiritual emotion. Those spiritual emotions in themselves stimulate other activities. There's two categories: executive and effective. And these two, the two divisions of this chaste rupa. The activities that we execute for Baba, generally, we're referring to these groupings for the Bhadin Prema Bhakta, the devotee who's rising up to the first stages of prema. This is what we're going to describe. Then, Bhava Rupa is devotional service executed with our spiritual emotions. Any questions on that? It's a little bit like every time we hear something, we gradually mature, inch by inch, naturally in our spiritual development. Every time we go, but it's not that by studying this we'll walk out the door and we'll start practicing bhava. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example of that. And of course we have to understand the example of the sun, which is given for bhava bhakti, that bhava bhakti is like the rays of the sun. And prema bhakti is like, so when the sun dawns on the horizon, we get some sun rays, and we know that very soon the full potency of the sunshine will be there. But bhava bhakti follows very quickly by prema bhakti. We can't make the sun come up. We have to wait for the sun to rise. That's another part of that example, right? So bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, it is Krishna's spiritual energy. It is not something we can make, create. We cannot make the sunshine, we wait for it. It comes at its own accord at its own time. Similarly, a young child they may ask, I want to have children too. I get the point that somehow it's connected with mum and dad, there's something there, but other things you just, even if you tell them, they still got no real concept. Nor do they even have a concept of the attraction between boys and girls. It's not there. When they reach a certain age, automatically the attraction between male and female is automatically there. It is a matter of just maturing. And, along the way there are some things which are picked up along the way, and then when the time is right, everything that they heard and understood, gradually when that that attraction is there, then it all begins to form a very real, solid understanding. So, in the same way, Baba Bhakti is like that. That if you keep following spiritual life, it will, as you become mature in spiritual life, it will mature into Baba Bhakti. No doubt about it. In the same way, as a young child matures and they develop their attraction to the man and the woman, they want to have children. So it is like that. There is a certain amount of maturity needed on the path of the spiritual life in order for everything to properly be realized and experienced. But, by hearing we can assimilate what we'll only assimilate according to our spiritual maturity. But whatever we do assimilate is some progress. And the same as children, as they gradually grow, they gradually assimilate more and more of an understanding of, that there will be attraction. Children, gradually, there's more and more of a realization and understanding, and in time everything becomes mature. So it is the same. But at the same time, we see that with children, although there is parents understand that there is a certain amount that they can explain to them. Sometimes they even tell them things that they know that they won't understand, but they know that somehow the child has asked, and they may explain something to them that they will understand in 5 years after they've explained it. That happens. The parents also guide the children in what to do and what not to do. To be patient, things that you shouldn't do, misconceptions. So we'll see in this chapter there are some misconceptions about what is Baba. What is Baba and what is not Baba. Even assimilating that as much as we can is very important, because you will actually see as you go on in devotional life that sometimes different personalities will apparently exhibit symptoms of Baba, and yet even from some beginning stages, with just being guided through this information, meditating upon it, we have enough defenses to protect ourselves from imitators. Ourselves imitating something. We'll see as we go on. You know, there are, we've actually seen, you know, there's previously, there's one or two gurus, you know, within our society who, for one reason or another, perhaps different offences, began to manifest very powerful symptoms of Bhava, apparently. You know, the disciples, not having even a basic understanding because of the mental devotion for their spiritual master, you know, was the greatest spiritual master that had ever been, and, you know, was showing more symptoms of advancement than anyone else in this time on the planet, basically. But it was, later, because the whole zone collapsed as a result of devotees stopped doing sankirtan, they stopped doing the services, it was just chanting Hare Krishna all day, hours and hours, rolling on the floor, laughing, crying, and then all the other regular activities stopped. The whole zone practically crashed, and of course, it ended in tragedy for the spiritual master, who was eventually killed. Shadow attachment, or, you know, which we'll discuss later in this chapter. Going on down there, isn't it? Shadow attachment. It appeared to be something that, you know, there is certainly, as a result of association with Srila Prabhupada and advanced devotees within the movement, there's certainly some shadow on Rathi Abbas, same. It means the same thing, Baba, Rathi Abbas, Baba Abbas. The shadow, there's something there which, if properly cultivated, turns into the real thing. Again, we see with children, you know, they want to imitate their mum and dad, so they will, you know, the girl will put on the high heels and, you know, do herself up in makeup, and I'll be the mum, and, you know, the little boy, I'll be the dad, and, you know, there's a, although it's an imitation, that imitation directed in the right way will ultimately turn into the real thing. When they are mature, certainly that imitation shouldn't become a fantasy. It's not monitored, you know, by the parents. You know, so that children don't become misguided in some way. So. There's a shadow attachment there, which, guided by, you know, mature devotees, it can actually become the real thing. If not, it can be taken as actually this person has bhava when they do not, and if what happens is that when people feel that they're very spiritually advanced, they will quite often commit offences to the spiritual preceptors by disregarding their orders. To the Prabhupada, and therefore, of course, you know, to stop the regular daily work of the devotees, to introduce a whole different program into ISKCON based upon ministers' chants and being ecstasy, and of course, because of, you know, a few drugs thrown into that little cocktail. And it becomes a great offence to Srila Prabhupada. We see here discussed that if the offences become very grievous, then that shadow attachment will become nil. If the offences are minor, but there are offences, that shadow attachment will become like, you know, a second or third grade type of devotional service. If there are no offences and devotees continue to follow their spiritual master and spiritual teachers, that shadow attachment can mature and develop. So, you know, therefore, there's a very real need to at least here assimilate what we can, because things can go wrong. That's a big example, but you know, there are similar things that have happened to some very, you know, devotees who were doing quite well, but they had mistaken a shadow type of Baba or ecstasy or the kingdom and love of God for something more mature than it actually was. Therefore, you know, there has to be enthusiasm and there has to be patience. So, of course, we discussed this in the nectar of the instruction. Next week we'll discuss. I thought that we should have a chat. But, you know, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the six principles which are very favourable for devotional service. Be very, very enthusiastic, but there should also be patience, understanding that, you know, things mature in the proper time, and you just, they will mature, just as the sun always rises. When the sunshine is there, you know, when the dawn is there, you know the sun will rise. So just be patient, enthusiastic, follow the regular principles, associate with devotees, you know, these sort of things. Be confident of success. Okay, so any further questions? So the main point we got there was just in chapter 16, just 17, sorry, just to understand that statement of Srila Prabhupada, within the stage of the regular principles of devotional service, there are two divisions, namely executive and effective. Just don't misunderstand that statement that Srila Prabhupada is talking about the regular principles of Vaidhisattva Bhakti. That's the main thing. You don't have to know all this so much. You just have to understand that statement is not referring to the regular principles of Vaidhisattva. That's the main point you need to know. But just for a little technical information out there, if that needs a little further look at over time, you know, with a bit more meditation. But it's, you know, you don't have to remember it or lock it in this case. There are different things which give rise to various tastes.
when Baba blossoms, there is a desire to achieve Krishna, there's a desire to please Krishna with various service, and there's a desire to be close at heart with Krishna. On the nature of Baba, we see that Srila Prabhupada says that after the outward appearance of these ecstatic symptoms, they stay within the mind, and continuation of the ecstasy is called samadhi. This stage of appreciation becomes the cause of future exchanges of loving affairs. The nature of Baba, of course, is that it produces certain spiritual emotions which manifest as acting in a particular way with that emotion within one's heart. The ecstasies and the taste remain within one's mind for a long time, and that evokes a mood again to serve Krishna, to remember Krishna, to hear about Krishna, which again evokes more different affections, moods of Baba, which again manifest in various different activities. So very much a chain reaction. There's a continuous flow, which is called samadhi, so it's continuous like that. In other words, people may have a concept that samadhi is where you just fix your mind on one thing, but they're not understanding the nature of spiritual life or Baba, where certain emotions produce certain activities which cause certain tastes which increase one's emotions. It just, there's a continuous varieties of tastes and activities flowing like that, and that creates a continuous flow, and therefore that permanent state of trance, absorbed in those spiritual tastes and emotions and activities, is samadhi. It's not that you just fix your mind. The Persians have that idea of samadhi, you fix your mind on one thing. It's like always, just that one thing is there, whatever it is. Samadhi is very much different than that. It's actually based on Baba. Now, achieving Baba, so it's again, that's important to understand the nature of Baba. That's how it's naturally produces this state of samadhi. That's the nature of Baba. There are two ways to achieve Baba: by ardent spiritual practice and by the special mercy of Krishna or his devotee. Now, you see that Srila Prabhupada says this in this way, that elevation to this stage of ecstasy can be possible in two ways. One way is by constant association with pure devotees. The other way is by the special mercy of Krishna or by the mercy of a pure devotee. Sounds like you're saying the same thing when you refer to the pure devotees twice. In the case where Srila Prabhupada uses the term association with pure devotees, it's synonymous with executing the practices of devotional service. Because you associate with pure devotees, they're constantly hearing, chanting, serving, like that. So one who's associated with devotees is constantly practicing devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada states, it is essential, therefore, that one constantly associate with pure devotees who engage morning and evening in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In this way, one will get the chance to purify his heart and develop his ecstatic pure love for Krishna. So,
understand, there are two ways. By ardent spiritual practice in the association of the devotees and by the special mercy of Krishna or His devotee. Bhava, which is achieved by practice, executing devotional service in the association of devotees, has two divisions. One is attained, bhava attained through Vaidhi sadhana, and bhava attained through Rabba Nuga sadhana. So, we said there are two ways to attain bhava. And that first one, of executing devotional service in the association, has two divisions. And one is the bhava is attained through Vaidhi sadhana in the association of devotees, and the other one is attained through Rabba Nuga sadhana in the association of devotees. There's the story of Radha Muni's life is an example of someone who achieved bhava by way of Vaidhi sadhana. Because it was not motivated by a specific attraction to Krishna, but by an obligation to the Sastric conjunction. We discussed that. We discussed that in the previous chapter. There's that quote by in the seventh canto describing different types of devotees who have spontaneous attraction, some in love and some not in love. Narada Muni was excluded from that platform of Rabba Nuga Bhakti because his mood of devotional service was considered to be Vaidhi. But in saying that, we must also understand that Rabba Nuga still came to the position of Rabba Prema. So we should not think that, although we discussed that previously, that therefore Rabba Nuga is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakta. Here, one can come to the platform of Bala Prema through Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakta and serving the Rabba Nuga here. So, therefore, Vaidhi Bhakti, of course, is not something we take lightly because it will actually then rather than being confirmed. That bhava is the precursor of a prema. The Prabhupada explains, this ecstatic love is prior to the pure love of Krishna. Because in the next verse, Narada confirms that by the gradual process of hearing from the great sages, he developed love of Godhead. So, you know, Vaidhi sadhana bhakti will actually lead to bhava and then prema. To support that one can achieve bhava by listening to the discourses of pure devotees, so hearing the chanting, he quotes Lord Kapila Dev there. There's a quote from the Padma Purana how bhava is achieved by Rabba Nuga sadhana. That's the story of Chandrakanti who saw the deity form of Krishna, which aroused in her a desire to dance with Krishna throughout the night. So her dancing is an example of Rabba Nuga sadhana bhakti because she desires there to have the sentiments of the Ragatika Bhakti, in this case the Gopis. So that's that quite thing. Um,
but retrieved by mercy is very uncommon. But sometimes it is found without undergoing any devotional process, all of a sudden one develops devotion to Lord Krishna. So it says there it must be understood to be the special mercy of Krishna or his devotees. Now, that apparently accidental development of ecstatic feelings through the causeless mercy of Krishna can be divided into three groups: by speaking, by glancing, and by good wishes. Speaking means a verbal blessing. Glancing means the Lord appears before the devotee. Good wishes means the person has a heartfelt but unspoken blessing. Now, there's different quotes in that order. The Naradiya Purana illustrates a devotee achieving mercy by a verbal blessing. Krishna blesses Narada. And the Skanda Purana shows that the Lord personally appeared and therefore blessed, as we say, by glancing or appearance. And the inhabitants of Jangala that is also another example of that, actually. And heartfelt blessing is the Sukha Samhita. That's although Sukha Deva Goswami was still in the womb of his mother, he achieved this bhava. And he achieved that through the more heartfelt blessings. And there's other examples. Prahlad Maharaj, who received Narada Muni's good wishes while he was in the womb of his mother. And then there's Mugrari the hunter, who became the exalted devotee by Narada Muni's good wishes. Prabhupada finishes that by stating that this ecstatic love for Krishna can be divided into five divisions, which will be described by Rupa Goswami later on. So chapters 20 to 34 actually describe in more detail the transcendental symptoms of the father. So, we don't discuss that in this part of the course, but anyone who's interested can read on. Chapter 18, here there are nine characteristics of Bhava. On page 139, chapter 18. Down the bottom of the page there is a little editorial mistake. Asta Kalika Leela should be Asta Kalila Leela. Kalila. K-A-L-I-Y-A. There are nine different characteristics of Bhava. These are there in one who's developed his ecstatic love or bhava. Again, to answer the question you asked previously, understanding these helps us to understand the difference between the ecstatic love of a genuine devotee and the so-called ecstatic symptoms of a pretender. So there's abhyasa, kalatvam, utilizing of time, and there's each one has some evidence. Shanti, perseverance, virakti, detachment, mana, sanyata, piousness, asa, bandha, great hope, samudganta, eagerness for achieving desired success, namagami, salaguchi, attachment to chanting the holy names of the Lord, tadguna kyane asati, eagerness to describe the Lord's transcendental qualities, and tadrasa, attraction for living in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. So those you can just read through. The previous chapter and in later chapters it describes that, of course, one on the platform of mother, the heart becomes softened by spiritual emotion and taste in relationship to Krishna. Therefore, that devotee may cry, shed tears, shiver, and manifest different symptoms of mother. Two things, those symptoms can be easily imitated and they can be easily concealed. So actual devotees who are very protective and very appreciative and guard very carefully this treasure of love for the Supreme Lord, in their natural humility to guard such a sacred treasure, they may always keep the symptoms of ecstasy concealed, and therefore it's very difficult to actually appreciate who is elevated. But we see with Srila Prabhupada that sometimes chanting Charavada Bhagavad, tears began to flow from his eyes, and he would actually go into samadhi. And not very often, because Srila Prabhupada was extremely careful that whenever any sort of ecstatic symptoms like that would manifest, that he would immediately conceal them. And sometimes, so overwhelmed that Srila Prabhupada had, it was beyond his ability to conceal them. And he would sometimes come out of a short trance and, be a little embarrassed and a little apologetic and just go on with the class or what he was doing. So they can be concealed, and one therefore may not be able to recognize those who are actually on the platform of love. On the other hand, those who are not on that platform, they can easily imitate them. And you don't know. I remember when I was, probably one of the last times I was up in Sydney, we were having a kirtan. Andrew Jimmyswan was leading the kirtan. Went for a few hours, because the devotees were next to everyone. It was just a cup of perspiration, and it was dancing badly, very, very anyway, in the middle of this kirtan, there was this little old lady. She's probably about 80 years old. Very, very sort of, very drawn, very old, grey hair. Hunched up like this. She was dancing away. And in the middle of the kirtan, she starts
rolling on the ground, you know, rolling and spinning around, you know.
You know, I looked at my spiritual master and he sort of looked at me with just, you don't know, you know, is this exalted devotee come and, you know, just pop into our kirtan that we don't know? It could be, you know, Radha Mooney in disguise, or is it some, you know, is there some shadow babble, or is, you know, is it just some sad? What's happening? You don't know. So sometimes, therefore, this chapter is very important, because you get to see the devotees over a period of time. These symptoms cannot be imitated and they cannot be concealed. And therefore, whether they may or may not be shivering and other, you know, symptoms of Baba, these nine symptoms make it very distinct as to who is and who is not a genuine devotee on that platform. So, very important to read them and to understand them for our own benefit, so that we don't misguide ourselves, and for the protection of, you know, the whole spiritual society. You know, one thing is that the acharyas, they're always very busy in, you know, they protect the path of devotional service very vigorously, like gently, like, because, you know, there's so many rogues and rascals who want to plunder it. Turn it into some, you know, something very cheap and useless and meaningless. So we have to protect our own spiritual life, and we have to protect the path of spiritual life for others. Later in this chapter, it goes in, as we described, there is a discussion on imitative detachment. That's how this chapter finishes, chapter 18, which we've discussed to some degree. And the point that basically we can understand is that the shadow attachment or imitative attachment, which is, can be known as the Rati Bhavas, Bhavas means like a shadow. That shadow attachment in the karmis and the jnanis can be invoked only in the association of an uttama adhikari. So, you know, when there are uttama adhikaris, then that shadow attachment may manifest. And but without the association of an uttama adhikari, even then it won't manifest. Then there's para attachment, transcendental attachment. And sometimes an ordinary person may develop that shadow attachment, and it results in the disappearance of material pains. So we've got karmis and jnanis, you know, following a particular path associated with devoted to the Lord, and there's also ordinary persons also by association. We describe that to come to the platform of Baba, there can be the mercy of the pure devotee. Visiting holy places like Vrindavan and Mathura, and performing devotional activities in the association of pure devotees. Performing devotional activities in the association of devotees, as we know, there is, especially hearing from our Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna, and worshipping the deities. They're all activities.
actually, if you take two and three, you said three ways it becomes a bala. Mercy of the devotee, or Nijma Adhikari, of course also all the mercy of Krishna, but generally Krishna acts through his devotee. There's visiting holy places like Vrindavan, Mathura, and the third one is performing devotional activities in the association of pure devotees. And performing devotional activities in the association of pure devotees would include chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and worshipping the deities. And that therefore, we can understand those five very powerful, most powerful items of sadhana bhakti that we discussed previously are included there. As we described, shadow attachment, shadow another can be completely destroyed by serious offences. Less serious offences just produce a very inferior quality of attachment. The attachment of a very staunch modest or impersonalist will also cause the shadow attachment to dwindle, because ultimately they end up worshipping, identifying themselves as God. And then sometimes we see that persons gain bhava without undergoing any spiritual practices. And we have to understand that they must have achieved this status in a previous life. If a person has developed bhava, seen to accidentally deviate, people should not show malice toward him. He should still be counted among the pure. Chapters, it makes it easy to identify all different types of devotees. Not to be too harsh in our judgment, this devotee has been, they're just, I've only been around for 2 years, they're just a bhakta. But someone can be around for 2 years, but previous lifetime, they're above a bhakti. And so that is very quickly come to that platform. Judge the body.
but it has no real, there's a little bit there, but not much. And sometimes devotees who actually, you know, as it describes here, they have developed some strong symptoms of bhava, and yet sometimes they seem to accidentally deviate. One should not show malice towards such. They still count it among the pure. Given that on the full moon there are some spots which may appear to be pockmarks, still the illumination spread by the full moon cannot be checked. Generally, a little fault in bits of volume to devotional service is not at all to be counted as a fault. Attachment to Krishna is transcendental bliss. Amid unlimited volumes of transcendental bliss, a spot or some material defect cannot act in any way. Very important statement. When we see devotees, and you know, there's just vast volumes, mountains of transcendental credits and strong attachment to Krishna, volumes of good quality devotion. So then we see, oh, there's a little, you know, there's something there, oh, there's something. You know, we should understand in perspective, there's a little spot. Volumes and volumes. So one should not. Malice means people with malice or envy. They see a little speck, you know, from some fault, and they'll pounce all over it and completely disregard all the mountains of good qualities and what have you, and just make the big thing, oh, it's fault. We see that sometimes. And sometimes, very nice devotees have been very unduly harassed, victimized, and ganged up upon. It does happen. So, in the nectar devotion, it should be, you know, it teaches us how to treat devotees. Very nice. So again, what is bhava, what is not bhava, and you know, to be very respectful, if people begin to manifest some qualities, you know, which, you know, fit within the category of bhava, it should be helped to be cultivated into the real thing and not just automatically, oh, you just, something which is imitation, in the course of time, should be helped to become the real thing. And then those who actually do mature and develop some of these very powerful symptoms of bhava, and yet there may be some accidental mishaps, the devotees should again consider, you know, those volumes of good quality devotional service and help them to, you know, continue. In this way, just having a very mature understanding of the process of devotional service on a very helpful way. Alright, so any other questions? That pretty much clears up, you know, a few things that are a little bit difficult to understand. So we've got one chapter to go, chapter 19, which we'll do, what day is it? Thursday. We'll do it on Sunday. And the following Thursday we'll do a revision. Saw Andrew today, he's going to send me a copy of the exam. I haven't seen it yet. I'm hoping to have it for the revision. Very good. And then we can get through a good revision of what to expect, some of the things, pinpoint a little bit, especially with the study, because we've done a lot of chapters. And then the following week, the exam, or the following lesson, and of course the week after the exam, the essays, just plugging in.
Alright, thank you very much.
Yep.
Alright.